Greetings and welcome to the Optional Extra two-player podcast, episode 3, in which we break down the weekly gaming news as well as what we've been playing this week. I'm Russell and I'll be your host as always, and joining me as the second player is Mitchell.
Hello.
So this week, once again, Blizzard decided to drop some news on us.
Lord Blizzard, back again.
Blizzard every single week since we started this has had news for us.
Well, we're always going to be talking about Blizzard. It's kind of the law of the podcast jungle that is this.
So this week we had probably the bigger news, but they're both big news, was the Hearthstone expansion announcement. And the Hearthstone expansion announcement was big, one, because it was an expansion, but finally, they're doing some Lich King stuff.
Finally.
Yeah, exactly. So forever, people wanted Arthas. Like, Arthas is not in the game, and I still don't think he is with this expansion either, but I'm not sure.
What?
Because they haven't shown him. What they have done is they've introduced a new card mechanic where every single hero now has a card that turns them into a Death Knight.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so like Rexxar and Uther and all of them have this card that transforms them into a Death Knight with a whole new ability and possibly a perk. Like, the Rexxar is the one they've shown, and that one, I believe, gets 5 armor, and its ability becomes summon like zombie beasts.
Oh, yeah. I kind of find this kind of funny saying Uther's a Death Knight just because of what that means.
Normally it's like a comedy type thing, or they play it off as a comedic Hearthstone expansion. And this one's like, no, we're going to do it serious. So everyone's going to die in this expansion.
Serious and dark.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting is this isn't an adventure mode one. So the adventure mode ones are where they give you like a story type expansion where you play through these wings and you're guaranteed to get all the cards in the set and you verse like bosses with all these custom mechanics and things like that. So this isn't an adventure expansion, but it does have an adventure component. So you can unlock, buy the cards or get the cards through the usual in-game currency, the different packs. And then there's also 8, I believe it was 8, boss type characters you can verse against and you get packs for beating them.
Cool.
The final of which, of course, is the Lich King.
Had to be. But which Lich King?
I don't know. All they said was the Lich King. It didn't elaborate on it further than that.
All right, I assume the original, the OG.
Yeah, I assume so probably too, but we don't know. Totaling 135 new cards, which is pretty normal for these card expansions.
Okay, I was going to ask.
Yeah, and that's, I believe, is coming out in August?
I heard August, but I don't know if it's... August is a pretty busy month for Blizzard with a remaster and an expansion. I'm not really a Hearthstone player, but you are. This expansion actually interests me a bit.
I don't know if it's everything I wanted, because what I wanted was Arthas added as a 10th hero, as like a Death Knight class.
So there isn't a new hero. They're just all
there isn't a new hero, but there is an entire new mechanic, so the heroes become Death Knight heroes.
Okay, so effectively there is, but there isn't.
Yeah, it's like, technically there's 9 new heroes, but at the same time, it's a card you use in the game to actually become it.
Okay, so you need the card to be able to do that, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Not really a new hero.
Yeah, but with the because it's new expansion, this is when they'll implement their new system that we discussed in our early ones, our early podcast, and that you're guaranteed to get a legendary in every 10 pack. The first 10 packs you get it, you're guaranteed a legendary, and then you're never going to get the same one again.
That's very good. It seems they're hunting down the duplicates, which we've spoken about on the same podcast, on two different games.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Which is good. They're listening to the community, and this expansion looks good.
Well, speaking of more Blizzard.
Yeah, so Blizzard also had some Overwatch news. Now,
yes,
I don't follow Overwatch to extreme level, and I still haven't played it, even though I own it. But from what I've been reading, Doomfist was the one announced, and
Doomfist.
People have been expecting him for ages. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, forever. He's been kind of rumored for a very long time, because he's the leader of Talon, which is the bad guys.
So that's like Reaper and...
Reaper's team, yeah. Yep. So yeah, they showed him off. They showed him off with an anime trailer for Overwatch.
Which I thought was cool. Like, they mixed it up and go, he's an anime one.
It's really cool. We've done the 3D thing. We've done the Pixar thing. Now let's go for a cartoon.
Yeah, which is cool because his abilities like work as a cartoony type one.
Oh yeah, they definitely do. He's just all melee orientated.
He's got his rocket punch move.
Got a few others. He's got a big slam ability as his ultimate.
Yeah, that one
probably kills people.
That one looks interesting because I think you're invincible when you do it.
It would make sense, because there are a few ones like that, like Mercy has a revive and she's invincible for like a split second during it.
This one looks more like you're not even visible to the opponent. Like, you jump out of the screen.
Yeah, from what I saw, I didn't see him go anywhere. It's just, where'd he go? It reminds me of Little Mac from Super Smash Bros.
He is kind of like that. Yeah, I guess the brawler type, getting in there.
Yeah, how he plays, like,
and stuff.
He's got a big long-range hit, which you charge up, which is pretty much identical.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. He does charge it up, yeah.
I think the biggest, like, thing people were surprised about, that he wasn't Terry Crews. Terry Crews didn't voice him.
People expected it to be Terry Crews?
Yeah, people were, like, hoping it would be Terry Crews for so long. And he even hinted at, he was, like, at Blizzard and stuff. It was just...
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't think he would be, because Overwatch seems like they need... be able to get them back again pretty easily to do it.
Right, yeah, and Terry Crews seems like a one-off type thing.
Yeah, so you don't really want a person who's too busy to come back, and then you have to revoice the character like, say, Destiny did.
Yeah, that's true.
Dinklage. I mean, no one liked Dinklebot.
But they might, you never know, like, Terry Crews, if people did expect it, and there's been some talks and whatnot, rumors, then maybe he might be like an Easter egg, like there might be something he says.
Yeah, maybe. I don't actually. I would have no idea. I haven't played him myself. He's on the Overwatch PTR right now.
Yeah, yeah. So that normally that's like a week or two after they release everywhere else.
2 weeks max for Overwatch. It's never really that long before they get the character out properly.
Yeah, they basically use it literally as a little test to make sure everyone's happy with how they've set him up. Yeah. And then they'll go, all right, now put him into everyone else.
Yeah, because you can implement something and you might have tested it, but you've no idea how it's going to play out when you actually just go, here's another character in a game with heaps of characters.
Yeah, exactly. So, moving away from Blizzard news, which is pleasant because we often have to talk about Blizzard. Apparently, the Star Wars Battlefront 2 roster leaked, so the hero characters.
Apparently it has been leaked indeed. Not apparent, it seems pretty believable what they've announced.
Right, so was this Reddit, or was it like a disgruntled employee, or...?
I don't know, I saw it on GameSpot. I don't actually know where the source comes from. But looking at it, it looks very likely that it's legit. Because, I mean, or it's a really good guess.
Well, I'll run through the list quickly, but most of them seem kind of obvious, and then there's a couple of wild cards in there. So, Boba Fett already shown, I believe.
Yeah, he was shown in the...
Yep, Han Solo shown. Leia, have we seen Leia?
No, but it was kind of assumed.
I think she was in the first one, so it doesn't seem that ridiculous. Luke, Bosk. Which, was he DLC for the first one?
Yeah, he was. He's the, kind of bounty hunter.
Yeah, the lizard-looking one. Chewbacca, kind of a given. Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine. Yes. General Grievous, which...
Yay.
Is new, but it's, like, one of those ones where it's, like, that, I kind of expect General Grievous to be one of the characters added.
I expected Count Dooku when he's not on the list. I'm very excited to play as Grievous in, like, a... very new game, just seeing how that works.
Yeah, just how good he looks, just like the amount of lightsabers he'll have and like the mechanics he might have.
Fantastic.
Eden Verso? Who's
Aiden
that character?
Eden Verso, she's the campaign character you play as.
Ah, well, that makes sense. Okay. Kylo Ren, Lando Calrissian, Darth Maul.
I think he was DLC.
Yep. Captain Phasma, Rey, and Yoda.
Seems pretty legitimate.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those ones where it's hard to fault it because it just seems like it would be real.
Yeah, it looks very like, well, yeah, these Call of Boba Fett's going to be in Han Solo, Luke.
Yeah.
It's like, they weren't shown, but it's like, duh.
Exactly. Like, it'd be, actually, when I think about it, Finn isn't on this list. And Finn
wasn't.
No, he's
not, because it is an early version of the Star Wars Battlefront 2 hero roster that was leaked, just to be specific.
Okay. Right, okay.
Which there might be some changes or could have been completely different by now, but that is what we have at the moment.
And I'm also sure that they'll have DLC set up for the upcoming movie. So if there's some new hero character or big villain or whatever, they'll have them appear in the game.
Yeah, post-December.
I'd say reasonable list, legit list. To me, it seems like it's realistic. I don't think there's any like crazy ones in there, like the blue elephant from like the cantina or something.
I want to Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, Jar Jar Binks, yeah, that is one. I think they will. I feel like it's way too big a troll not to put him in. I feel like people want to put him in.
It sounds too hilarious.
Also, I really want the Gungan army. Like, just to have, like, all these Gungans running around and stuff.
I'd love to shoot them.
Yeah, and they're like the little shield things and whatnot.
That would actually be impressive in a game. I don't think they've done it.
Well, I think
the AoE ripoff did.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Moving on from Star Wars, similar, I guess, setting, but not.
Speaking
similar.
Of the science and the fiction.
Exactly. We also have the announcement that all the Halo games are coming into the backwards compatibility program.
Yep, all the ones that weren't already on it.
Yeah, exactly. So the backwards compatibility program means they are the original ones, yeah?
They're the ones you bought on 360 now working on the Xbox One.
But that does include the Halo 1 anniversary that was on the Xbox 360, yeah?
Yep.
I guess that kind of means that they're not going to re-release it again on the Xbox One.
Well, I mean, they've re-released one anniversary. Well, all the games coming to it are Halo 1 anniversary, mm-hmm. Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo ODST. Every single one of these is available in the Master Chief Collection. Every single one.
Wait, so if the Master Chief Collection already had them, I guess this is just more of like a, we've given you enough time, let's just release them as backwards compatible.
Yeah, it's kind of because Master Chief Collection's multiplayer woes are still, I mean, they're not completely as bad as they used to be, but for Australia, it's pretty much unplayable for most of the time. So you'll be getting the original servers.
Wait, it's still that bad because we don't have, like, Australian servers?
No, because there's not enough people still trying to give that game a go.
That's interesting. Maybe that's, like, a comment on, like, maybe the Halo franchise in general.
No, Reach is still popular, oddly, because it's...
That's one that's not on this list. Is Reach going to be part of this?
No, Reach is already backwards compatible.
Ah, okay, that makes sense then.
It's kind of like, the thing they didn't have, the only thing they didn't have was the ODST firefight in the Master Chief Collection, which is probably right. The only reason to be excited for ODST, I guess.
That doesn't require any online connectivity or something?
No.
Huh. I wonder why they took it out originally.
I don't know, it was kind of a, like, I was excited to hear ODST coming, and then they took out Fire, and I was like, it's like half the point of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I guess... For those who are excited, which are probably just Xbox fans, admittedly, it's something.
Something.
Something extra. And that's kind of it for all the biggish news this week.
Pretty much.
But, as always, we've been playing different things.
We have indeed.
So, what have you been playing this week first, Mitch?
I haven't been playing a lot. Just been playing Diablo 3 because I want to play more of the Necromancer.
Okay, so... Last week, we had a brief kind of talk about your thoughts.
Yep.
Has that changed?
God, it's the best class in Diablo 3. Full stop.
Oh, really?
It's just amazing. Dude, I love that class. You eventually get so many minions. You just get minions everywhere. It's fantastic.
Wait, so when I last saw it, it had, well, what I've seen of it, you kind of got the big skeleton army. Do you get more, like, big things after that?
Yep. You can raise corpses of the enemies to fight for you.
Every enemy.
Any enemy that dies. I don't think it can include bosses, though, but
yeah,
anything around you can summon back up. And then you can make them go turn back into corpses, then to revive them again, then you kind of have your army infinite.
So it's a duration thing, so you can summon them for a limited time.
Yeah, they don't live for that long, and you can only have a few at once. You can't just kill like 1,000 enemies and have like 1,000 behind you.
Still, some of those enemies are pretty big.
Oh, yeah. They shrink them down, I noticed, because
okay.
You get this blood golem whose ability is he leaps forward and explodes into corpses. So what you do then is you revive the corpses, and they turn into mini versions of him.
Wait, so when you're reviving them, do you have to just click on them?
Oh, yeah. It kind of just picks enemies around you.
Oh, so it's an aura effect, like a region effect ability?
Yeah, it has to be. And obviously there has to be corpses around you.
Yeah, exactly.
So the whole point becomes, like, gathering corpses, turning them into things, or blowing up corpses, eating them, you know, pretty dark shit.
But it sounds like a never-ending loop, because if you summon them and then they die, then you just bring them back again and you've got never-ending amount of army.
Pretty much what I've experienced.
Was there any, like, cool mechanic? Because his main one was, the spikes out of the ground. Is there another one they get later?
You get one where you summon an army of the undead. But you get curses as well, but you don't really, the spike ability does advance a bit, but...
Right, yeah.
I haven't really tried that one, I kind of just stuck to what I liked, which was just making armies of undead.
Well, I mean, it is the Necromancer class, so that, it kind of fits the narrative.
It's definitely a great addition. It's still expensive for a single class.
So you still think it is quite expensive?
It's probably just a bit too much than what it should be.
I think Maybe if it came with some extra like game content, maybe just like a new area or something.
It does, but it's inbuilt into the Reaper of Souls, so it's not like, oh, you bought this, you get this as well. It's just, that's just what you get anyway.
So if you don't own the Reaper of Souls and you buy it, do you just unlock that content?
I have no idea in that respect whatsoever.
I wonder if maybe that's more beneficial. So if you don't own Reaper of Souls, if you buy it, you get some of the Reaper of Souls content, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
I'm sure the Wizards of Blizzard have worked it out.
I'm sure they have. It's just buy Reaper of Souls, give us more money.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been playing that. I have been playing a lot more of Crash Bandicoot The Insane Trilogy.
I wonder why.
And that's because I've got a review coming out, which should be out by the time this episode's release. And I thought it was great. It's an excellent remaster of an old school platformer. So I think, obviously I've got the nostalgia for it. So I enjoyed it because I remember playing it as a kid and I just love seeing what it looks like now.
Definitely looks good.
The gameplay to me still holds up. It feels old, but at the same time it feels different because like Mario, you know, he's had his similar, you know, 2D jumping around mechanics and he got new like abilities and stuff as time went on. But between each one, they just kind of made it smoother, I guess, and more fun to play. But it doesn't mean
more
if you
refined.
Go back. Yeah, more refined. But it doesn't mean if you go back to the original, you go, ah, the Mario one wasn't that good. Crash, in my opinion, is similar to that, where yes, as the games go on, so 1, 2, and 3, it gets better or more refined as we go along, but it still has its core mechanics being fun from the get-go. But Crash 1 is definitely the hardest one.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
It is challenging. I do believe it's easier than definitely I remember it being, because I think they give you a lot more lives than you ever used to get.
Mm.
And on top of that, I noticed checkpoints. I don't even remember if it had a checkpoint system in the original, other than there might be one in the level. Now it's like if you die multiple times, you will get a checkpoint coming up.
Yeah, I did notice that happening, because I die a lot in Crash 1.
Yeah. Everyone dies a lot in Crash 1.
Yeah, from what I saw, Crash 1, it just looks like as difficulty spikes, some levels further on are quite alright, and then there could be just one that's just like, this is hard as hell.
Yeah, and it is kind of like that, where it might be like, ah, oh, this level's not too bad, and the next one's like, oh my god, I've just lost like 30 lives on this level.
Why? Why Crash Bandicoot?
But it is a learning curve, because when I go back on the levels to maybe like get the gems or something, I suddenly find I can like literally win in like two goes or something.
Hmm.
So it is just like you get used to the jumping mechanics and working out what the time is and whatnot. And then you get better at it or get good and then you can suddenly pass it.
I didn't get good at Crash 1.
Crash 2 and 3 are definitely more enjoyable. You can see how Naughty Dogs have just made it better to play in the sense of their platforming mechanics are a lot smoother. One of the key mechanics that I love, and when I went back to Crash 1 after winning all three again, was the slide jump you can do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when you go back to Crash 1, you go, oh man, Crash 1 feels so much slower than the other two.
I can't slide.
So it's one of those ones where I think you should play Crash 1, Crash 2, Crash 3 to see the progression of the content.
I played a bit of 1, then jumped to 2.
Yeah. If I think you start from 3 and go back, you'll end up probably be more disappointed as you go back. But that being said, I think Crash 2 is the best one because of its focus on platforming. As opposed to the third one where they suddenly go, let's just throw in all these gimmicky kind of new systems where like you're on a vehicle now or you're swimming or you're on a jet ski or whatever. And all those mechanics haven't, I wouldn't say all of them, but a lot of them haven't aged nearly as well as the platforming has.
I will just say this, I've only finished 3 so far.
3 is the easiest one in general.
No, yeah.
But it's the one that I played the most as a kid. I played that one so many times. And it still lives up, in my opinion, to what I remember it being when I was younger.
Yeah, so I'm playing through 2 now. Well, not this week.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2's still hard, but not as hard as 3. 1's the one where it's like, you're tearing your hair out sometimes with some of these jumps.
Yeah.
So the other game I've been playing that I didn't even realize came out until literally Friday, I forgot about it, was the Little Nightmares DLC.
But your review said you knew when it was coming out.
I knew when it came out, and I did know it. I just forgot with everything else going on. So just yeah, Friday when I went on the PlayStation, it was like, oh, here's the Into the Depth DLC. And I went, oh man, I forgot about it. I need to download and play it.
Oops.
So I did that, and I would say if you like the original game, you'll definitely like this DLC. But basically, this one's focused on, like, this creature in the water.
Okay.
So it's definitely creepy, and you've got this tense feeling as you're kind of swimming through and trying to get to these different platforms and whatnot. But you don't see it really at all. You see it for a little bit, but it's not much. Mm-hmm. So I would have... In the main game, you get to see a lot of the creatures quite often, and you get this, like... It was one of the most things I liked the best, was waiting to see what the next monster would look like. Where this DLC, it was a teasing you. So it just kept showing this arm, like hand under the water, try to kind of reach for you. And then near the end, you see what it looks like, but it's very brief. And I don't think as cool as the main ones that were in the game.
So kind of trying to be mysterious by not showing you it to kind of create a more feeling of terror, I guess.
Yeah, and focusing on a mechanic that wasn't hugely present. So there's a couple of sections where in the main game you'd like jump into a pool of something, let's just leave it as that, and you have to like get to another location before something grabs you from hidden underneath. This DLC is basically a lot of that.
Okay. Creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy, it's good. More Little Nightmares. The next DLC, I believe, is November, which is a long time.
That's a fair while.
Yeah, but I hope that will introduce a more visually present, like, baddie.
Do you know what it's called?
I did know what it was called. Well, I believe they've announced what it is, but I can't recall right now.
Fair enough.
But yeah, More Little Nightmares, like the original, I did. It's more to look forward to.
More Nightmares?
And it was actually like $5 Australian.
That's really good.
Yeah. I bought the season pass, so it might be a little bit more than $5. It might have been $6, but the season pass was like $15, so you get all of it. So I'm doing the math. I'm guessing it's, you know, break them up into threes.
It's pretty good value, though.
Yeah, and it takes an hour, maybe a little bit over an hour. But yeah, good in general.
But it's a big chunk for already short game in a way.
That's true. It's almost a quarter of the, or even a third of what the game is.
Not bad.
So. Yeah. Some of the locations are the same though, because you're working away. You're almost working away backwards from where you went in the main game.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool because it's like building the narrative. It's like, oh, that's why that was there when you're the other character.
Yeah, that's always neat when they do that in games.
You can tell they thought about it. Like this was planned when they made the game.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Symphony of the Night's, like, upside-down castle. They clearly planned for it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how late they planned for it, though. Like, I wonder if it was the original plan, or they got to the end and went, oh, we should maybe do, like, this whole thing.
Or what if we went backwards?
Yeah. But yeah, it's great. And that's kind of it for stuff I've been playing this week.
Yep.
So next week, there were two things I was interested in, but one of them got delayed until, I believe, the 24th of July, and that was the Fable Fortune.
Is that coming? Was that meant to be coming out?
Yeah, it was supposed to be coming out on the 11th, or maybe it was the 12th, I believe. No, I think it was the 11th, one day before the other game that's coming out next week, or the big one. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And I like card games. I'll see if it's worthwhile at all. Apparently, there was administration issues on the Xbox One or something. So the game's finished, or ready to go, but they didn't set it up in time or whatever. And to make them release simultaneously with Xbox One and PC, they've delayed it a couple of weeks to make that happen.
Mm, wasn't this the fail, the Kickstarter that Microsoft saved?
It's not clear. They haven't shown anywhere that Microsoft Studios has backed it, but I'm guessing yes is the answer.
Yeah, someone backed them out.
Someone definitely did, yeah, because Kickstarter didn't.
No, Kickstarter definitely didn't. I thought it was doomed to fail, but yeah, that's a bit of a shame it didn't come out.
And the other one that's coming out, well, the other big one, I should say, that's coming out next week is the Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age re-release of Final Fantasy XII.
Yep, who would have thought Final Fantasy XII's remake is Final Fantasy XII?
Hey, with the title The Zodiac Age, you might go, oh, it's some kind of re-release system.
True, like, or a sequel or something.
It's Kingdom Hearts. Square Enix is Kingdom Hearts, and Kingdom Hearts has so many retitled things that it can become very confusing very quickly.
That's true for Square. It's kind of a special little... They like to make names confusing.
So this is basically similar to those Kingdom Hearts games as well as Final Fantasy X, that they're up-raised it to... I guess it's, yeah, just HD now. They've cleaned up all the textures.
Well, it'd be called full HD. HD's 720p, technically.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I've remastered the soundtracks, rejigged the controls and the gameplay a bit. Yeah. One of the interesting things that I don't know how big effect this will have on the gameplay, but my guess is a hell of a lot, is that you can run at like 4x speed now, and combat's at 4x speed.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 4x speed, so like you're like freaking flying through these dungeons and bad guys.
So it's for like people who've already played it.
I guess, but at the same time, it's useful for, because Final Fantasy XII was, it has a cool mechanic called these hunts, and basically, as the title suggests, you get a hunt, and then you go and kill this creature.
Alright, so like Monster Hunter.
I guess, but it's, you're basically tracking over areas you've been to before, so often those bad guys could be really easy to kill, so you just go, just run past them all, and now if you do that 4x faster, and beat the bad guy, or the hunt, at 4x the speed, it speeds up the game a lot.
Yeah, that does sound fast. I know nothing about this game. Like, literally nothing.
Final Fantasy XII is one of those weird ones where it's probably one of the only Final Fantasy games I ever played where I didn't like it that much. When I was playing, I'm like, I don't know if I like these gameplay systems, and I don't know if I like the story.
Rip.
Yeah, it gets this like very political like kind of focus, but it's like nonsensical political fantasy stuff.
Okay, like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, but they don't normally get very political, I guess, or it's more crazy than like the hero aspect. Well, this one's quite literally, you've got like, I believe it's a queen in your team.
Oh yeah, just casually got the queen with us.
Yeah, because of like this, I guess the monarchy's like fallen. I'm not going to go too much because I'll probably get it all explained wrong, but in general it is.
Because the plot.
But I think this is a second chance, so I'm hoping, because a lot of people do like 12 heaps, they're like, it's like that underappreciated Final Fantasy where a lot of people didn't like it, because I think it was so different. So I'm hoping when I play this re-release, I'm going to like it, but that remains to be seen until next week.
I have no opinions on it, and this will be my first actual ever time playing 12. I'm interested.
The combat, I think, reminded me of like an MMO system. Like, it's because you're like setting up all these different like options at once to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if you might like it. I just remember when I was younger, I didn't enjoy it that much. But
I can see myself not liking how that sounded as a kid either, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's because it was such a big departure of what Final Fantasy X, which I loved, had just done.
Yeah, that was turn-based, after all.
Yep, exactly. Where this one is, it's almost like programming. Like, you like program the characters to do these specific moves.
Dragon Age had a similar mechanic where you could pick things to happen under certain,
it is a bit similar to Dragon Age, yeah. But this one, I think, is even more programming, where it's like, you can conditionalize. Like, if they are less than 40% HP, heal them. This kind of stuff.
You can do that in Dragon Age Origins as well.
You could go to that level? I thought it was more like you told them, like, oh, the combat fight, if it's this type with this specific spell or something.
No, you could actually pick all that. You could pick, and like 10% they'll use a health potion or something.
Oh, in that case, I guess Dragon Age was very similar.
I guess so.
You enjoyed Dragon Age, didn't you?
I got addicted to Dragon Age Origins for a while, yes.
Okay, well, in that case, Final Fantasy XII might be the exact right game for you.
Find out next week, won't I?
Exactly, find out next week. So, we've been Optional Extras, and you can find us at optional-extra.com, as well as the corresponding links, I guess, on Facebook, your iTunes, YouTube, blah, blah, blah.
All the places. We're in them.
All the places. We've been slowly increasing our content, so now we've got this podcast, we've got the usual or main podcast, the Optional Extra podcast, we've got Screenshot, where we go over a movie and talk about our thoughts and opinions and that kind of thing.
Yep.
Reviews are coming out, so Crash should be out before this podcast goes up.
The YouTube channel is growing, we're getting more content out as well.
Oh yeah, so we've got like, I guess, impressions and stuff kind of coming out too.
Yeah, we should have a 4 weeks worth of content this week.
And with that, I say thanks for listening and goodbye.